Welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And this isn't the easiest week. Andy, how are you feeling?
I've got a full tinfoil hat conspiracy theory on, which is never a good place of mind to be in, because as you know, Nick, in real life, I don't believe in conspiracies under almost any circumstances, but in football life, I do. Not great.
So what's the conspiracy around Ivan Soldo going on the injured list that's got you worked up?
That's got me depressed as well as paranoid. Yes. Well, that conspiracy is that we draft lots of ruckmen and then never play them and then run Nank into the ground. Not much of a conspiracy theory, is it?
No. So that's a very depressing note. Probably not surprising, given he's had a setback, but and the serious nature of the injury to begin with. But yeah, Ivan Soldo ruled out for the year. Means we get a pick in the mid-season draft next week, which we might talk about later. But yeah, on top of freshly announced injury to Tom Lynch that's going to see him out for 4 to 6 weeks. Tough loss on Friday night. Plus, it seems, and I know you're struggling with this, Andy, I'm not sure that Kane Corns likes us.
Look, I'm devastated that clickbait merchant is saying controversial things to get attention. I must admit, I am enjoying a friend of the podcast, Ryan, on Twitter's use of the Bernie Sanders meme to say, I'm once again asking you to not rise to Kane Corns' bait.
Yeah, I think, look, it is fair to ask how we're going. It's clearly not the season we planned. 5-5, sitting ninth, having last week had close to a quarter of the salary cap, and four of our top five clearance winners on the injured list. So yeah, it's fair to question how Richmond are going. It's all the stuff around it that feels incredibly confected.
Yeah, I mean, you can't help. So we're not alone in this. Caro, who's fairly well placed, has said that Marlon's suspension, which was obviously ludicrous and amazing because he did exactly the same thing a Brisbane player didn't even get a free kick called against them 2 seconds before. That it was because Dimmer spoke out about Docklands and that we're very much on the nose at City Hall. And you sort of wonder about the unconscious bias that Stephen Hawking sent through the umpiring fraternity when he complained so much about our game plan. And so it does seem like, it's not unusual for a team that's been good for so long. It does seem like the scales are particularly tipped against us this year.
Yeah, the umpires are incredibly professional, so there wouldn't be a Get Richmond bias, but it's fair to ask if they've sort of picked on several aspects of how Richmond play the game to emphasise for free kicks. Although, what is interesting is that while we have, quite a sizable number of free kicks paid against us, it's not a ludicrous total. What's really the real outlier in our statistics is the competition low number of free kicks we receive. So it seems other AFL teams infringe less when they play against us than they do against other teams.
Yes, well, I mean, look, as I said, Nick, I don't believe in conspiracy theories, and you're right to stick up for umpires, but You're right, and statistically right now, so it's after 10 games, so it's a decent sample size. We are currently, I only looked for this century, so I know a lot of people say, oh, well, Richmond's never got the rub of the green with the umpires. Well, right now, Richmond's on track, and, you know, that's a good argument in theory if you only look at the rankings, but right now, Richmond's on track to have the worst free kick differential this century, so 20 seasons. This century, so not only are we on the track to have the worst free kick differential, it's worse than the second worst differential by 40%.
Ooh. Nice work on
which, by the way,
nice work on the stats, but ooh.
Which, by the way, was also against us. So it's just like, look, you know, I should be crinkling the tinfoil on my hat, but you know, I've had sensible Richmond supporters in my life, which I know is an oxymoron, saying, like, the umpire thing is real. And, like Caro's saying, okay, we're all mad and one-eyed, but there is actually a stat backing up the fact that it is something very unusual is happening.
Mm. Yeah. Then when you get a really outlier stat, there's an element, probably an element of bad luck to it. But there's probably some systematic stuff underneath it, like the wonderful Sir Swamp thing on Twitter put out a stat of number of seasons since you had a negative free kick differential. And for most clubs, the figure's pretty low. And for the Eagles, it's 20. So you think,
wow, that's amazing. That's a lot of game styles.
Yeah.
Well, yes. I mean, since we're... It's not about Richmond, but since we're... since we're having a general whinge and bitch about the umpiring, that obvious out of bat. Look, the umpires make heaps of decisions, but and bad ones. But the incredibly obvious non-deliberate paid wasn't paid in the Adelaide Melbourne game because the umpires just, you know, 5 minutes of training, acknowledge that crowd noise is a factor, and tell the umpires you have to manage it. You know, I bet they don't. I bet they don't say, look, there is a systemic bias. In all sports, umpires have a systemic bias towards the home team, because if you're probably aware of that bias, you'd be a bit more, you know, you might not have made that decision to pander to the home crowd in the heat of the moment.
Look, I think I'm sure they get a lot of training on blocking out the crowd, but and ending, not blowing the whistle to it, but... Yeah, it's well, and those end of game ones, you have to remember that people don't make their best decisions after they've run 16 to 20 kilometres. Like, there is, you know, there's a degree of fatigue for umpires as well. But yeah, I think they maybe need to do even more to do something about that. Home whistle factor.
Look, fair enough, Nick, and you make a good point, and I'm not actually talking about Richmond, so we should... The point about fatigue is well made. Funnily enough, against when the umpires are umpiring Richmond, they get very fatigued after about 1 minute in the game and are unable to play as free kicks. Anyway, moving on. The Brisbane game was deeply depressing. We didn't think we had a great chance beforehand. We were brave and plucky to start with before a combination of them rolling over the top of us and playing against 25 men overwhelmed us. But is there any positives from the game that you took?
Well, look... a big positive, and well, actually, two big positives. The first glass half full one, the forward Jake lines held up.
Unstoppable.
Sorry,
Jake Arts is unstoppable.
Well, just the whole forward line, like the, you know. We mentioned in the preview that Jack liked the Marcus Adams matchup, and yep, sure liked it in the first quarter. Tom Lynch had a pretty decent game. Jake Hartz looked really good. Like, the forward line felt like it was functioning. You know, Dusty set up I don't know how many goals though. Yeah, I did. I came away thinking, oh, if we get anything close to even inside 50s, yeah, we'd run these guys pretty close. In their forward line, we struggled for a matchup with Zach Bailey, which really frustrated me, but. Yeah, and Hipwood had his first good game against us, seemingly ever, but it didn't feel dominant. Like it's the opposite of the qualifying final loss where I thought where we were plus five on the inside 50s, and I came away thinking, oh, if we had Tom Lynch, we would have won this. And yeah, and that sort of to flip it on its head,
Oh, yeah,
we had the forward line and the defence as well. And when we talk about our best players, I think we're going to talk about defenders quite a bit. But yeah, I felt like our structure held up. And look, the other positive for me was we're just lucky that Brisbane haven't decided to play Reece Matheson in any of their finals before, because he's clearly their Superman.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. God, I've enjoyed that. There's a picture of Dusty not even looking at him, which I've enjoyed all the commentary on. Yes, I mean, extraordinary carry on. Looking forward to the rematch.
Looking forward
with
to
the full
rematch.
team.
Reece Matheson's played 51 games in, I think it's 6 seasons of AFL, and yeah, never picked for a final. So maybe that explains why he was carrying on. It was the biggest game of his career so far, but also,
Yeah, to the Lions' credit, they had a plus 30,000 crowd, which is a big crowd for them.
Yeah,
So
that is
yeah.
good.
It would have felt intense for him. Nice shade tossed. The only thing I would disagree strongly with that when your soliloquy was when you said that we'll talk about the defenders a lot, because I don't think we'll talk about this game a lot at all.
I really like Noah Bolter's game. He's had a not quite the season we hoped for, but. No, I really liked his game.
As you should, he had 13 intercepts.
Yeah, just monster number.
Yeah, Dave Asprey, of course. A bit more disappointing. On the defenders, well, actually, Hawley, a lot of people didn't like his game, and I can see why. And there's
he got a coach's vote.
Yeah, and he was actually the equal top-rated player on. By the sort of the champion data measures, so he's not actually he had 8 contested possessions, so it was actually quite a good bash. It was even in his prime, that was a unusually good game for him. So perhaps don't park the Undertaker's hearse outside the outside Punt Road for Bashir Hawley's career just yet. God, that was a tortured analogy. And the equal co-leader was K-Mac. Who had a lot of meters gained, 10 contested possessions, and his pressure was high.
Yeah, and the Gabba's a big-ish ground, and yeah, he loves the big spaces, not intimidated by the moment at all. The Grimes. Yeah, Grimes felt a little off, unfortunately, including the odd sloppy bit of discipline. But yeah, I don't know.
I think Grimes has been good, and we're better with him, but I sort of noticed a few times he is not athletically the man he was 3 years ago.
He was really good last week.
He's good, but I stand by that analysis, even though he was good. I'm not saying he's not good. I'm saying that he's not the man he was athletically, because he was elite athletically a few years ago, and I don't think he's quite got that toe anymore.
What did you think of our approach to Cameron?
I sense you've got a take here. I want to hear it.
He did very little, but and whereas, yeah, as I mentioned, Zach Bailey really got off the chain, which was frustrating.
Yeah, well, eight disposals, one goal. You know, so unfortunately he got the goal. So, but you'd have to say on balance, that's a success, surely.
Yeah.
He did have two shots on goal.
Yeah, which, yeah, so he had in a winning team, he had virtually no impact. So, yeah, so it felt like a win, but I didn't really notice it at the time. Maybe that's how defenders go.
Yes, indeed. Bit of a worry, sort of the end of the list. Like, Nash has done his hamstring, so that's probably his cycle gone. Sorry, this current selection cycle in the ones.
Yeah, it's
over.
It's a 1 to 3 week injury, so it's a minor niggle.
Other causes for concern, obviously. Ross wasn't particularly influential.
No, he's been dropped.
Yeah, Rouse Smith gets the two and done. Are you worried about Graham?
Rouse Smith, I wouldn't completely rule out. Yeah, Graham. I think we all had such high hopes, and look, those high hopes were, you know, he cracked the top 100 on NFL. Rating, so he was having a genuinely good season over a period of time, but yeah, he's a bit off form, and if you think about the sheer number of midfielders coming back into the team in coming weeks, I don't think he'll be dropped this week, but I think he'd be unnoticed.
Yeah, I mean it's hard to drop him when you've got no mids, but it's his lack of evolution as a player. The high side's there, right? But his lack of inability to sustain it is, and it's not like he's young anymore. He's not old either, but is deeply worrying. Deeply is probably overstating it. Look, Nick, I feel like I'm pulling teeth talking about this game. It made me so unhappy. Sorry to be whiny, but is there any I think we'll have to do it anyway because while Lynch is out, but are you in the it's a two ruck time and that second ruck should be ceased, definitely should. Had Lynch not been injured, would you have agreed with me when I went on a rant about it's time to play CCJ?
Yes, just because I'm inherently pro-Ruckman, although not nearly to the same extent as you are. But
and at some point, you've just got to humour me and move the conversation on to the next topic.
Well, and look, one of the big steps forward in 2017 was realising that our best 22 meant ignoring some conventional structures and playing without a second key forward. And so you get your 22 best players out on the ground. And I think we're at a point of our best 22 players means having to compromise on our best structure. Because, you know, the CCJ's numbers on the season are just... getting my notes. He's averaging 19 disposals, 8 marks, 17 hitouts, and 4 shots at goal a game, and has kicked 13 goals, 6 on the season. If you put that in AFL ratings terms, he's the dominant player in the AFL competition. So, yeah, I think you've got to play him. We're
Yeah, look, that's a. I actually, that's a nicely structured argument. And look, the problem with this team is not, I don't think, necessarily the structure. Or I don't think it's healthy at all for Nank to be playing this many, getting this much beating. I think it's the fact that we don't have a midfield. But if just humour me, if the issue is that we don't want to, sacrifice our magnificent structure, well, we're a 500 team at the moment. We win it, we lose as many games as we win. It's not like, what have we got to lose from a bit of experimentation to the structure? Because it's that last the last are small on the list. We're often struggling to get on the field. So yeah, well, funnily enough, I've thought about all the options and come down strongly in favour of CCG playing Nick as I have for every other week of this year. But yeah, I think. Well, it's a no-brainer now, but I think the case is extremely strong. The choice was, maybe we can talk about Marbs when we talk about the VFL, but is there anything else you want to talk about the game?
Oh, look, I couldn't fail to mention the Pickett to Riley Collier Dawkins to Naish to Ross goal.
Oh,
That was
yeah, thank you.
just a beautiful piece of play. I was, yeah, and yeah, I've long been a Riley Collier Dawkins proponent, but yeah. He's still, and you mocked me for a long time. Well, perhaps mocking is too much, but you were correct to point out that he needed to be more than just the highlights from the 2019 VFL Grand Final. But it's very good to see him having these flashes. Even this week wasn't as good as last week, clearly.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely not unique, but it's a more sort of universal thing about the love of certain players who occasionally put on a highlight and look good. And probably my least favorite phrase on internet chat boards is he just needs to start believing in himself, and then he'll be amazing. Because most players aren't like that; they either have it or they don't. But maybe I'm just too scarred from Ben Griffith. He was his 18 disposals was actually not bad by his standards, but he only had one contested ball in that, so obviously a down game. But as you'd expect from someone who's very, very callow in.
Talked about this game more than we wanted to, but I did think it was worth noting. So I've just recently finished the very good Marlon Pickett book, but I was struck that when he made his waffle debut for South Fremantle, only a couple of months after he'd got out of jail. The role they picked him in was as a wingman backup ruck, which is almost a unique position. And you think, oh, that's a bit hokey and lower level, except that that's the role that he's been playing at AFL level. You wouldn't say a success, but you wouldn't say it's a complete failure either. And yeah, while he didn't have his best game, it is a tribute to him how much he's made a pretty unique career out of some pretty unbelievable circumstances.
He was saying that Marlon will get injured if he keeps playing as a ruck, and I don't actually think that's the problem with playing Marlon as a ruck. And he's not terrible at it. So I agree with your core thesis. It is impressive, but he is the most uniquely hard player I can remember playing for sort of in the last decade. There's just something about him, just the way bodies bounce off him. And like, I'm sure it hurts him in some way, but it doesn't look like it. Like, of the things that I worry about with not playing CCJ, not on the top 50 of them is Marlon getting injured. Having said that, he'll probably do a shoulder in the next ruck contest when he comes back. But yeah, he as you say, he's a very unique and special footballer who is going higher and higher. His grand final was nice. It was a good story, but then, if you heard it 50 times, you got a bit sick of it. And look, the game was a one-off and an absolute flogging. But so, he wasn't one of my favorites last year, but he's right up there now as one of my favorites on this team.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know how he's going in best and fairest, because he's been a constant factor in a team without a lot of constant factors this year. So, yeah, no. Yeah, the suspension's unfortunate. So, we've mentioned about CCJ as well, but that's the VFL had a far more pleasing trip to Brisbane than the seniors did. I was interested in the highlights, you know, pretty one-sided game, but CCJ certainly at varying stages was matched up against Connor Balladin, who's also around 200 centimetres and 100 kilos, was drafted in the same draft as CCJ. So there's sort of, there's no excuse about him being some undersized fringe
bullying some pimply kid from Sandringham.
So he's a genuinely big dude, and he still had trouble. So it's too much to expect CCJ to dominate at senior level, but I think there's every reason to expect him to be at least productive.
What I heard then, Nick, was the CCJ momentum is unstoppable.
He averages, he's the only backup ruck I've heard of who averages more hitouts than the first ruck. I mean, Mobs had a good game as well on the weekend, and three goals, and you know, our ruck forward combination has been incredibly forward productive, and look, Samson Ryan, who's getting a cameo as first ruck in the VFL this week, he's been if not overwhelmingly productive, he's been productive as well, playing mainly as a key forward. He's averaging two goals a game as well. So, yeah, it is interesting.
Yeah, like I agree. Like, he's, Samson Ryan keeps doing unexpected things. Chol, I think he's contested. I've seen him do contested work this year that I think the best I've ever seen him do, like genuinely crashing bodies, which, I'm a proponent at some level we have to realise that, we have to accept that Chol is 10 kilos lighter than people who do his job in the AFL, and like that's just not his fault. It's just the body he was born with. So we can never expect him to be a contested beast. But yeah, I've been impressed with the VFL hearts, and I think in some ways this did feed into the Soldo question, because we're incredibly unlikely to play Soldo this year unless he's 100% fit, because you know, he's a league.
We've ruled out Soldo for the year.
No, but that's what I mean. Part of the reason we ruled him out was probably that we probably could have got him fit potentially for the last three or four games of the year. You know, and rolled him out sort of, you know, had that been a sort of a Dustin Martin type player, you might have played him at 80%, but there's no point, because an 80% Soldo isn't getting a game on this team because we have so many other backup ruck options. The cupboard is full. I still think, look, as much as Dimmer's again spoke highly of Marbs, I think Raff did as well. Like, there's a lot of love for him, and more love from amateurs like us too. But I just think, look, we know what Chol is, and will be in the AFL. I think it's time. Like, CCJ should win that competition between the two of them.
Yep. Speaking of fringe senior players, Josh Caddy probably can't do any more. He's had 38 disposals, two goals. He's averaging nearly 30 disposals and five tackles on the season in the VFL. He's included in the squad for hopefully the game this weekend. I don't know. He's above the level, but struggling to find a place in the seniors.
Do you? I mean, He's playing, as you say, this is the best footy he's played this year in the VFL. It was never quite clear what was wrong with him, was it? Because he missed some footy, and I don't think they ever announced an official injury, so I think the absence of that, I think, might be telling, and we don't need to speculate, but I think he's killing it, and great to have him back. Sort of, you know, when all those mids were out, that was his time to shine, and he's missed his window a bit, but I think you have to play him to reward that form, because he's not only is he getting plenty of the ball kicking goals, he's getting tackles too. Yeah, so, and actually, you know, sort of tribute to the unknown soldier, Ben Miller is looking very buffed.
Back to back, big career highs in disposal. Last 19 disposals last week was a career high, and he had 24 this week. That's it. He's suddenly playing really well. This is bearing in mind his first game of the season. He had 3 disposals, so. Playing well, and Biggie Newen had his best game in his short career as well, with 17 disposals down back. So yeah, I was quite encouraged by that. Thompson Dow had some of those highlights where he just flashes through a pack and comes out the other side with the ball. But one I wanted to mention, and because he's getting some buzz for the mid-season draft, one of our VFL listed players, 19-year-old Sam Durham. Look, he's consistent without being overwhelming, but he had 17 disposals last week. Again, playing down back, but he's got a pretty solid body. Skills are pretty good, and apparently clubs are having a look at him for the mid-season draft. I don't know if we're among them, but interesting.
Yeah, good for him. So that's I've sort of noticed him a bit, and I've actually linked. I've thought, he's got a few tricks. Watching, he looks sort of 0.5 of a level of above in the VFL.
Yeah, we've had it's a younger VFL team among the VFL listed players. I mean, we've had a few teenagers. I mean, mostly they're more early 20s guys who've been playing at lower levels. But He's been the best of the younger crop, and good to see he's getting some attention. Which maybe a natural transition to the sheer excitement that is the mid-season draft next week. There's a lot of. Well, the AFL is certainly talking it up, and God knows I love a draft, but I think it's telling that it looks like there'll be more ruckmen picked in the top 10 of the mid-season draft than there were in the entire national draft last year. So that's sort of, I think that's the more ruckmen picked, perhaps the less important the draft is. Unfortunately, but they take longer, and you can get, it's hard to scout ruckman at 18. I don't think we haven't been linked to any of the young rucks, thankfully, and that makes sense. But the only player we've been linked to at all is old friend Tyson Stengel.
Yeah, who's been linked to multiple clubs, so might go before our pick. Nick, for the benefit of the listeners, what's the order of the preseason draft?
It's the ladder at the end of the upcoming round.
Yep, and how many teams have picks before us?
Most of them do. I haven't looked. We'll be picking around 10th. 11th, and look, the consensus is there's most teams only have 4 or 6 names on their their list. So I wonder if it'll come out who we're linked to closer to the date, but yeah.
I'm quietly shocked that I managed to find a draft question so nerdy and obscure that even you didn't know the answer to it. But, you know, after a decade of podcasting, it had to happen once.
Pouring over mock drafts for the mid-season draft, look, it just seemed more productive just to pay attention to were any of our VFL players getting nibbles? Were we being linked to anyone in particular? And are there any other players of interest? So Sam Durham's the answer to question A. Tyson Stengel's the answer to question B. And I think fondly of Tyson Stengel, even if I don't think I necessarily want him to get a game ahead of Maurice Rioli Jr. And for the third question, are there any other players of interest? Jackson Chalo, who's the Tasmanian key forward, who I think I compared to Stephen Jerica in our draft preview show in November. He's getting some buzz as well because he absolutely dominated several Adelaide listed key defenders in the SANFL last weekend, and he would clearly be the most fun pick for me.
Absolutely. I think Simon Wallace has been posting footage of him. If people want to see it, but I'm sure you can Google it as well. I couldn't agree more about the excitement. I will say there was 2 points there. Is like, firstly, if Stengel's fitter than Rioli, like, there's a case that I know Dan's pressure acts were high, but, you know, the Dan Rioli's production is replaceable this year. So I don't know.
I looked, and his season averages are just a fraction down, and they're completely within. It doesn't look like an outlier season at all, which is curious and. Perhaps.
But he was pretty close to the edge anyway. Anyway, the other point I was going to make is that I know one or two people have mentioned, you know, getting someone a key back. We don't need a key back. Like, they're not stars, but our you know, Ben Miller, for his faults, is you're not going to get a better backup, Dave Asprey replacement in the VFL. Ben Miller wasn't on an AFL list, he'd probably be picked up.
Yeah. And, you know, and Biggie's exactly the type of developing prospect that you want as a key defender. I'd really like Jackson Chalo, not least then we'd have three North Launceston players on the list, along with Nankin Mansell. But, Sam Durham off our VFL list. I'm always in favour of drafting our VFL guys if they're playing well.
Absolutely. Adelaide, Nick.
I know. Well, firstly, inshallah that the game actually goes ahead.
At time of recording, the smart money's on it being played in Sydney.
Yeah, which would definitely. Having it at a neutral site would definitely. I mean, we're reasonably solid favourites. A couple of days ago, we were about 25 points. So that'd obviously move in. I put it to you that Ben Keyes should be your favourite Adelaide player.
You know what? I was looking at him really jealously.
Do you know why he should be your favourite Adelaide player?
To Terry?
Yeah, nephew of Terry Keyes. I literally didn't know that until researching for the show this week. And Terry Keyes is one of my favourite. Could have been anything. Is impossible to imagine 180 3 centimeter specialist marking forward in modern day AFL, but gee, he could take a specky.
Yeah, look, absolutely, and you know he's actually he's in the top 30. He's right now 25th rated player in the AFL.
Yeah, top 10 in the AFL in inside 50s tackles and turnovers.
Picked via the rookie draft. So
yeah, so he was a Lions Academy pick, washed out with the Lions, went to the Crows as a retread, and look, that is. It's the type of player you get in a rebuild. You know, you give some guys an opportunity who hadn't thrived at other clubs, and yeah, he's really gone on and made a fist of it.
Strong Cam Lambert vibes.
Yeah, he's much more an inside player, but yeah, no, good on him. This had this game gone ahead at the MCG, it would have been our second home and away game against Adelaide at the MCG in 8 years.
God, yeah, that's extraordinary.
You know, Adelaide have been better than people expected this season for a team that finished last. Last year, they are genuinely solid. They've played 6 games at home, which I think has helped them. But yeah, they're very competitive. They've recruited some guys out of their state league in James Rowe and Shane McAdam, who've given their forward line a bit more juice. Tex Walker is clearly bounced back. Jordan Big Butts is not a bad key defender. I've got Riley Tilthorpe, who was the second pick in the draft, and is not a bad if you sort of slot him in as young Brad Ottens, that's not a bad comparison to where he's at. They've got not as much as you'd expect of the core of the 2017 team. In you know, it's most notable in some of their mid-sized players, Rory Laird, Brody Smith, Paul Seedsman's another productive veteran, but yeah. This team has really gone sideways since losing the grand final, but they're not incompetent.
No, well, sideways is a nice way to say they fell off a cliff and are now sort of climbing their way back to respectability, which they have done. I wanted to pay tribute to Tex Walker, Nick. Who obviously was the much mocked villain of the 2017 piece and the power stance, but the sort of, you know, there's a moment when someone, and he looked so washed last year. He looked like he was going to retire. There's a moment when sort of, you know, one of the football rivals and the guys on the other team, when they're right near the end, you realize, oh, it's like Buddy now. It's like, you know, almost everyone barracks for Buddy when their team isn't playing the Swans, because you realize football's going to be more boring without him. And there's sort of this late career renaissance that Tex is having as this brave leader. Look, he's in the top 10 for AFL right now amongst players. Now, admittedly, that's driven by a couple of really good games, but he's playing good footy at quite an old age for a key position player. I'm really enjoying his late season renaissance in any other team except when he plays Richmond. You know, good, look, good, I'm sort of hats off to Tex. You know, he's our vanquished foe, and
as long as he doesn't beat us this week.
Exactly, but sort of him being so good late, you know, just adding to his career resume makes him an even more impressive person to have bested in the 2017 grand final. So his success increases our success. So yeah, what actually, this is a real shame. This is this game would have been the first one I got to sit in my reserve seats at the reserve seats at the MCG, and that matters a lot to a lot of people because I was chatting to a guy at footy training last night who he's got a mate who he's been sitting next to for years, and he hasn't seen him since 2019. Like the reserve seat mates, he's worried about him. So yeah, it's such a shame. It's no one's fault, obviously, but yeah, it's let's just hope we get it done at the MCG.
Yeah, fingers and toes crossed. I think it's almost a shame they don't play it in Canberra. I think Monaco suits us better. But
yeah, good point.
It's looking like we'll have Prestia Bolton and Cochin back. Edwards maybe another week or so away, Lambert after the bye. So there is some cavalry coming, but yeah, this is a big game for our season.
Nick?
Yeah, you were on mute.
Yeah, you just went quiet though for a while.
Ah. What was the last thing I said?
You mentioned the sort of the mids. I'll just pick it up. And as previously discussed in great length, it's CCJ time. So, look, it's exciting because no matter what, it's a slightly new look team. It won't be the team we rolled out last week, it's a big game. And look, my psychology, Nick, is like I've sort of moved on from premiership defence now, and that we're a great team is now that we're a scrappy bottom of the eight team, trying to punch our way into the eight. I'm actually quite into this year now. I've made the psychological shift. I don't think we're going to finish top four.
The underlying smugness of someone whose team has won three of the past four premierships, though.
Yeah, I mean the clear discrimination we're getting that does help me feel like a embattled underdog a little bit, even though that's obviously complete self-delusion because we're the largest club in the AFL and incredibly successful, and still got all that infrastructure. And you know, next year we'll have a lot of players back, and we'll have a lot of draft picks, and we'll be able to recruit. So it always felt like that we were one more bad season away from every Richmond supporter just shaking hands and saying, "Well, we had a good go at being a football club, but we're clearly toxic for each other. Let's move on to other pursuits in wintertime."
Yeah. It's time to look at merging with North Melbourne.
I think we, except the North Melbourne bit, I think we may have said that exact thing on the podcast once or twice 8 years ago. So it's not desperation strikes, but look, I'm enjoying the footy. I'm looking forward to the game, and let's hope we get it done.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Tour.
It starts with a vision. If we're not locked into that, might as well pack up and go home.
You're talking about three flags by 2020.
Fitzroy has played in more finals than you guys.
And after 13 straight losses, the Tigers are no longer toothless. Their first win for 2010. Carmichael Hunt. Pick up Jeffrey. He does. Carlton are on their way to Sydney.
West on to kick a goal from here. He does. What a start. Can he just slow? He's gone. No free kick, surely.
First preliminary final in 16 long years, and they have done it. They've won. The Tigers are into the prelim.
Stop! Go Tigers.